As is often the case, the first reading and the gospel are very connected today, extremely connected. And the message behind both are strengthened by the symbols of those that have and those that do not have. And the reckoning, if you like, will come at when we draw our last earthly breath. And in doing so, Jesus talks to the Pharisees about what will happen. But what will happen depends on how we live our life here and now. These are very sobering readings. There's nothing light-hearted that we can find within these readings. So he's directing his conversation. It's a story, Jesus is, in the gospel. He's directing this parable, this teaching story, to a group of men called the Pharisees. And the Pharisees believed in the resurrection, so they believed in life after death. The other group at that time were the Sadducees, and they were kind of like the religious lawmakers. They did not believe in life after death. They did not believe in the resurrection. So in Jesus' culture, you had these two different schools of thought, if you like. Remembering that these words were said by Jesus before his own death and resurrection. But they are only included in Luke's gospel. So something must have been going on in Luke's community, because by the time Luke put these words together, Jesus had not returned as he had promised. And so the community were probably getting a little bit edgy. Jesus said he would come back, but he hasn't. But they certainly had experienced the resurrection. So the resurrection aligned itself more with the Pharisees, if you like. And now, so that they didn't become complacent, he tells the story of these two people. And the story is full of opposites that should make us feel uncomfortable this morning. We should squirm a bit. It's a very graphic parable, extremely graphic, really, if we were to put it to the movies, as it were. Now, to highlight the dynamism of what Jesus is saying, he's using opposites. So the first thing is, the first opposite is the Sadducees don't believe in resurrection. There are probably people, maybe even here today, who don't believe in the resurrection. And then there are those that do. But what is it? So this story unlocks, this parable unlocks a little bit of it. That's the first opposite. Then we get introduced to two characters. One is a rich man. He is dressed in purple and he eats magnificently. That's the first thing. He has no name. He is also the only person, other than Abraham, to speak. He has a voice. No name, but a voice. The opposite, we have a poor man, a dreadfully poor man. The dogs even licked the sores. And the poor man is given a name, but no voice. The poor man's name is Lazarus, which means whom God helps. But Lazarus has no voice. He doesn't say anything in this parable. The rich man, whose name has become associated with the name Dives. Some of you may know this parable as the parable of Dives and Lazarus. Well, the word Dives, that name, has been taken on board, but it's not part of scripture. The word Dives actually comes from the Latin, which means, in a crude sense, a bag of money or lots of money. And so I'm going to refer to him as the rich man, but that's where the word Dives, that's where it comes from, a bag of money. So this man who has a voice but and a name has power over the poor man who has a name but no voice. On this weekend, we talk about migrants and we talk about refugees on the 108th World Day of Remembering refugees, migrants, and migrants, I should say. Now, I think it's fair to say that for refugees, many of them have no name and they have no voice. Whereas those that do have a name do have a voice. That's the rich of society. And for us, we associate ourselves more closely with the rich than we do with those that are nameless and voiceless. And so there's, in that dualism there, there is an opportunity for us as we reflect this weekend and beyond this weekend to do something about that, to start to give a name to the nameless and a voice to the voiceless. Lazarus, whom God helps. Lazarus is obviously poor, but he's not a beggar. The word begging doesn't get mentioned in there at all. He is poor because that is his state in life. No fault of his own, more than likely. That is just who he is and how he exists. And he's lying at the gate, we're told, of the rich man's house. So there's this entrance. The rich man in there, in his fine robes and food, does not see or acknowledge the poor man. And that gate is then paralleled with the other dualism of what we hear after they both die. The poor man, Lazarus, is carried up to the bosom of Abraham. He is in peace. The rich man, we're told, dies and is buried. And then the next thing that happens is the rich man sees Abraham off in the distance with the poor man at his bosom. The problem is also that the rich man, even in his death, so be careful of this, all of us, even in his death, not only in his living, but in his death, he just didn't get it. We all have an opportunity to give a voice and a name to those that have none in the world. The rich man had that opportunity. He could have opened his gate, but he didn't. He didn't get it even in death. Twice he says to Abraham, "Send Lazarus down to dip the finger of his tongue in water on mine, because I'm in hell with these flames." And then he says, "Abraham, tell Lazarus to go to my father's house, because I have five brothers, and warn them." So even in his death, the rich man is treating Lazarus as a slave, as a servant. "Tell Lazarus to do this, tell Lazarus to do that." He just doesn't get it. So that is extremely sobering. We need to be jolted out of our complacency, and we need to get it. We need to close that gap. And that is highlighted in the second part of the parable, where Abraham says, there's a gap here that can't be closed. You chose your destination by the way you lived this life, and no one's going to cross over from one side to the other. That's confronting, whether you think it's just a story and it doesn't really affect me. This story should affect all of us. It gives us an opportunity on Migrant and Refugee Weekend to see, where is this gap? It certainly exists in Australia, and we are part of that. Do we maintain that gap, or do we close the gap? Once again, I say, do we help give a voice to the voiceless, and do we help name those who remain nameless? That gap represents, in the other dualism, the door where Lazarus was lying outside the rich man's house. He could have closed the gap. He could have brought the poor man in, but he didn't. And now in his death, that gap exists, called a chasm, and there's nothing that he can do about it. It should unsettle us, because, as I said also, we seem to be more comfortable with associating ourselves with the rich man as opposed to the poor man. Because most of us here, not everybody I know, but most of us here have had a pretty good life. But I know that even this morning in the pews, there are a couple of people who've had to leave their country to be here. They came here, in a sense, voiceless and nameless, but they are in our community now. And we, I hope, are a welcoming community where these people at least feel safe, where they feel at home, where they feel that there is no gap, that we are here together. Unless you've lived in that position where you've had to escape your country for your life or for your family's life, then we will never know what that feels like. But today we do have that opportunity to reflect on how we treat the foreigner. How do we understand the refugee? Why would they want to come to Australia? If they knew what we felt inside, if we exercised our voice on their behalf so that they could speak for themselves, the gap would be closed. And that goes beyond migrants and refugees. It goes to those that have and those that do not have. We can say the rich or the wealthy and those that are poor. That gap still exists. In fact, in 2022, it's probably wider than ever, highlighted by the COVID pandemic, where the large corporations made enormous amounts of money out of a world pandemic. The rich get richer and the poor get poorer. When our life comes to an end, when we draw our last breath, that's how we will be judged. We will either be with the flames, as it were. Hades is the term that's used here, which translates to hell in modern language. And that is, we will be excluded from the peaceful presence and the eternal presence of God. And that's what heaven is. Heaven is not so much a place as a way of living, a way of being. And we choose our destiny by whether we close that gap or we keep it wide, or we even widen it. May I just close this morning with the words of St. John Chrysostom, who's a saint in the East and Western Church, and he died in 407 AD. And these are the words that he said about that gap. And I'll leave them with you this morning because they too are very sobering. "Not to share one's wealth with the poor," he says, "is to steal from them and to take away their livelihood. It is not our own goods which we hold, but theirs." Not to share one's wealth with the poor is to steal from them and to take away their livelihood. It is not our own goods which we hold, but theirs.